Aloha and welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Our conversations include you every single week. If you'd like to join us, our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. But just a reminder, this is a rebroadcast of today's Town Square, and so phone calls will not be taken at the number given. Now, back at the legislature this year are a pair of bills to regulate short-term rentals. The measures SB 704 and HB 1471 are often referred to as the Airbnb bills, and they're now on their fifth and sixth versions, respectively. Both bills allow transient accommodations brokers to register as tax collection agents and have explicit requirements regarding the general excise tax and the transient accommodation taxes. But then there's the resolution moving through the Honolulu City Council. Lots happening when it comes to short-term rentals. Today on Town Square, we're going to consider the bills in detail, and we want to hear from you, too. And just a reminder, you're listening to a rebroadcast of Town Square, and calls will not be taken at the number given. Here's our panel. Larry Bartley is the executive director and a founding member of Save Oahu's Neighborhoods, a loose organization of volunteers whose mission is to coordinate effective activities to prevent further erosion of residential neighborhoods, the loss of housing, and tourism resentment. He has called Oahu home for 41 years and has also served in various capacities on the Kailua Neighborhood Board for 21 years. His group has aided the efforts to add effective protective language to both HB 1471 and SB 704. Keikoa McClellan is here. He's the president of the McClellan Group. He represents the American Hotel and Lodging Association to support Hawaii's hotel industry in what he says should be common sense short-term rental legislation. The association opposes SB 704 and supports the intent of HB 1471. Victor Geminiani is here from Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice. Appleseed has testified in strong support of both bills, and the group has now many reasons that are in concert with the other organizations supporting them. And by phone, we're going to hear from Carol Burns. She is a Kailua Kona homeowner and vacation rental host through Airbnb. She has spoken out in favor of SB 704. And again, you're here too. If you want to join us, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for making the time for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Aloha.
When you look at
Aloha,
Carol, thank you. When people from the outside are looking at these bills, they're looking at them perhaps a little differently than all of you are because you eat, breathe, and sleep them in certain ways. But in terms of how similar they look, how different they are, I want to talk to you each about that to be able to give those listening a really good understanding of what these two bills do and what they don't do. So, Victor, I'm going to start with you. As you look at the bills, what did you see that makes them in concert with each other or perhaps thwarting each other?
Well, I think they're diametrically opposed. Senate Bill 704 is basically the bill that passed through the legislature last year but was vetoed by the governor for a variety of different reasons, whereas 1471 does permit Airbnb and other renters of online housing to collect taxes, but also has a requirement that they really make sure that that housing that they're making available to their clients is done in a legal fashion in the community.
Larry?
Yeah, same. SB 704 started as a bill to form a working group to investigate, you know, this problem of short-term rentals in residential neighborhoods, and has, when it crossed over to the House, they gutted it and replaced it with the original language of HB 1471. So it's very tricky when you talk about these bill numbers to really, you know, they're changing so quickly that it's hard to say I support this, I don't support that one, or, and so forth. But the bill that crossed over from the House to the Senate, 1471, received a hearing last week at the Senate, or 2 weeks ago in the Senate. I don't remember the committee, but anyway, they really added a lot of protective language to it, and that's the general sentiment in the Senate, is to not go through what we went through last year where they do all this work on a bill and gets the governor and he vetoes it. They want to, the committees there want to put something in very protective so that it might pass, and also it's going to protect the county zoning.
And go ahead, Keikoa.
Thanks, Beth. And yeah, there are large differences between 704 and 1471. SB 704 in its current form and function would effectively deem licensed all platforms and the short-term rentals that are listed on them. So what I'm saying, Bethann, is 704 in its current form, if you, a potential host, are operating an illegal short-term rental, should 704 go through, you would be deemed licensed by the state of Hawaii if 704 goes forward in its current form and function. That's very different than 1471, which addresses the issue of tax collection and the need for the state to collect these tax revenues from legal operators, but doesn't go so far as to say if you list on a large platform, you are therefore legal, effectively preempting county zoning laws. So 1471 provides for specific protections related to mandatory registration, transparency of data reported by these short-term rental platforms, penalties sufficient to encourage compliance, and no preemption of county authority relating to the county zoning and permitting of short-term rentals. So those are the two clear differences between the bills in their current form and function. 704 allows for the proliferation of illegal short-term rentals in our neighborhoods. 1471 addresses the need to collect taxes from legal short-term rentals while providing protections that allow counties to enforce against illegal operators.
From what you've all said, and Carol will get to you in just a moment, but from what all of you have just said, is more reasons for people to be even more confused by these bills, because they have, A, gone through so many versions already and may yet go through many more versions, and why it's incumbent on anyone who has an interest in this to be reading the current version and making sure that you understand the differences from one to the other, and where, in the case of one of these bills, Larry, that you were talking about, where we've had gut and replace from old language from last year. It's really tough for people to get their arms and minds around all of this, and yet it's something that's going to be very important for neighborhoods and for many neighborhoods throughout Hawaii, not just on Oahu, certainly, to be able to understand. Carol, you are in one of those neighborhoods, not on Oahu. As you look at your own neighborhood, clearly you like the idea of Airbnb because you're a part of it.
I do, and there are very few short-term rentals in my area, which I can find just by looking at the Airbnb map and seeing where the, rental opportunities are. The other thing is that I checked with the county planning department, and online there is a map, there is a chart that gives all of the different areas and what they're zoned for. So you can see if your area is zoned for rentals at all, any rentals. And the difficulty of asking the big platforms like Airbnb to collect information, a verification that a person, a written verification that a person has a documented allowable rental unit, the process for that does not exist. There's no place that I can go and get a certification from the planning department or the zoning department or the there's nothing that exists that would say, okay, yes, you are in this zone, and we'll give you this documentation that says you are legal to rent, so that when you make the requirement of Airbnb or other platforms, that they collect that documentation from me or kick me off of their site, then, it's a catch-22. I can't provide it, and they can't get, there's no way for me to provide it.
All right, Carol, I'm watching a couple of heads shake around our table here. Keiko, you want to go first?
Thanks, Bethann. Carol, thank you for calling in. I love Hawaii Island. My family's from there. It's a beautiful place. And on Hawaii Island, like we have in all four of Hawaii's major counties, I'm discounting Kalawao because there are no Airbnb rentals in Kalawao at the moment. Each county has addressed appropriate short-term rental legislation and where short-term rentals are allowed and permitted. So on the county, on the Big Island, on Hawaii Island, you can go to the Department of Planning and ask for an over-the-counter transaction that would allow them to certify that you are a permitted activity. This came up in the Senate Consumer Protection and Ways and Means hearing a couple weeks back. The acting director for the City and County of Honolulu's Department of Planning and Permitting, Kathy Sokugawa, made it very clear, quote, that it could be an over-the-counter transaction, end quote. In other words, this myth that Airbnb is putting out there that it would be too difficult for the counties to assert that you are legal is frankly a lie. It's very simple. It can be done, as you pointed out, Carol, by looking at a map and seeing if you are operating within a permitted zone and if you have a correct licensure. In fact, in the city and county of Honolulu, where the lion's share of Airbnb's revenues in Hawaii come from, you can go online today and identify the 858 permitted short-term rentals that are operating on island. So that's just summarily non-factual.
Kekoa seems to be making the point that we might want to look at the idea of whether we really need Airbnb or not. Larry?
Well, I want to just address that because, in fact, on the Big Island of Hawaii, there is not a licensing certification process. I did call the planning department, and they told me that I could look at that grid to see what area I'm in and if rentals are allowed. But they did not say that there was any written certification that I'm in one of those. So it may be true on Oahu. It's not true on the Big Island. And I just called my council person's office, and there are no plans at this moment to deal with licensing of short-term rentals.
Larry, you also wanted to chime in. Thanks, Carol.
Yeah,
Stay with us.
On the same subject. Kathy Sukugawa at the Senate hearing said this on Oahu, this could take 1 minute of time to get an over-the-counter certification. Now, I'm not sure of the zoning laws on the Big Island, but this is not a difficult process for the planning department there or the permitting department to set up a process by which they can hand you a letter saying you're legal, or even an online certification that Airbnb can check on and rely on and transmit to the state. This is not a big issue, and it's being held up as a straw man so that they don't want to comply with it. The fact is,
but they don't have it at this point.
Well, they could have very easily.
I think we should all caution ourselves and wait for the Department of Planning and Permitting on Hawaii Island to chime in on this. And they have. The Hawaii County has opposed 1471 in its negative version and in ways supported 1471 as it currently exists. But I'll give a quick anecdote about how difficult it is to collect granular data for the purposes of disclosure and making sure that you're asserting that you're permitted. I represent the American Hotel and Lodging Association. One of our members, Outrigger, another of our members, Aqua Aston, have done this very successfully. Aqua Aston, with almost 8,000 individual units, when Outrigger owned the Ala Moana Hotel with more than 1,000 units there, they were able to collect data from the individual owners of these units who owned the unit, provide that information, and make sure that the Department of Tax knew who they were, that they were permitted, a permitted short-term rental in a permitted area, and that those taxes were levied and conveyed appropriately to the state of Hawaii. And they did this voluntarily, and it took Outrigger one person. So this is not difficult to do.
But from this whole discussion about this and what Carol is experiencing on the Big Island, clearly what the two of you, Larry and Kekoa, have been talking about specifically regarding Oahu, there isn't a comprehensive process that you say could be done easily if there were the will to do it. Is there really the will to do this and to make this as easy as you say it should be?
Well, Kathy Sukugawa said they were happy to do it at the Honolulu Department of Planning and Permitting. And I think,
but statewide? I mean, to be able to have a comprehensive process that would be statewide.
Well,
1471 addresses that. So it does. So yeah, 1471 specifically outlines how the platform is responsible for the provision and collection of information. So it would, under 1471, be the platform, Airbnb, or, you know, fill in the blank. It's not just Airbnb that allows for illegal short-term rentals in Hawaii. There are a number of platforms that do that.
Yeah, let me respond to Carol's statement that on the Big Island, at least in her residential community, there are not many short-term rentals. We are bleeding short-term rentals in this state, bleeding. We now have 30,000 illegal rentals, most of which are in Oahu, where the price of the problems, obviously, and homelessness are evident to every time we leave our office. We have the highest rate of homelessness in the United States. Housing has just gotten too expensive. And there's a general reason for that. When Airbnb comes into town, people can rent their entire houses, which 82% of all rentals in Airbnb are full
and
houses.
That's what we saw a recent study.
Exactly. They're able to rent them for about 3 to 3.5 times what they can receive if they rent them for long-term rentals, rent them to our residents. So there's a great economic driver, and I don't hesitate to understand why people are moving into this industry, but the impact of the industry is devastating to our local residents who are searching. 43%, by the way, are our renters in this state. And since we have bleeding the availability of rentals, in fact, Kauai, there's just been a study done by HHFTC. In Kauai, the rentals are only 10% in terms of advertisements of what they were just 3 years ago. We have basically a tsunami of these illegal rentals going on in all sorts of communities, mostly in residential communities, and it's draining away critical housing stock for our people. That's why our people are stretched to the max in terms of being able to afford decent housing in this community.
I just came from the council committee on the zoning committee. Honolulu City Council setting up requirements for low income housing, for affordable housing, you know, for developers to add to their projects, and you know the City Council is also looking at Bill 1752 to improve enforcement. Well, I'm at this hearing, I'm thinking, nobody's talking about the 800-pound gorilla on the wall with probably 15 to 20,000 homes on Oahu. Who are already there, that could be affordable. They're already built, but they're full of the wrong people. They're not full of our local residents. They're full of tourists who are renting them short term. And so this is the absolute. I mean, if you start enforcing these will return to the housing market very quickly, to the long term rental market, and really put pull lower prices, lower rentals, and make housing available.
All right, we want to let you know that if you're just joining us now for Town Square, we're talking about vacation rentals, short-term rentals, the Airbnb bills, as we're calling them, going through the ledge, and also, as you've just been hearing from Larry Bartley, what's happening with the Honolulu City Council. We want to hear from you, too. 941-3689, if you're on Oahu, that's the number to use. But just a reminder, this is a rebroadcast of today's Town Square, and so phone calls will not be taken at the number given. We're going to go to a caller now, someone not part of that illegal rental hemorrhage that you just talked about a moment ago, Victor. Charlene from Oahu is on the North Shore and has a legal vacation rental. Aloha, welcome to Town Square.
Hello, thank you.
You had a question or a comment?
Yes, my comment would be that the distinction is the county is in charge of the enforcement and the legality of whether it's a legal vacation rental or not, and the state has nothing to do with that. And so basically the state seems to be wanting to pass a bill that supersedes the DPP, the poor county, and there are about 900 legal units that is a published list, and I don't understand how the booking platforms can promise $100 million on 900 of the legal ones on Oahu. And each county has different rules and regulations, but the state is trying to pass something that completely is in opposition to the county and leaving all the responsibility to the counties in lieu of dollars. That's my comment.
All right, stay with us for a second there. Do you feel at all any sense of responsibility to return your unit to rentals for someone who lives here as opposed to who is visiting here?
Well, no, because I became legal in 1989 and 1990 when the legislation originally passed with the city council. So, you know, it's been a lot of years that I've not been in the regular rental market. And so I don't feel responsible to go back the other way because I'm not really part of the problem that has happened now with the proliferation of tens of thousands of them.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. She brings up, though, a point that we haven't yet talked about, that there are people who came into this long, long ago and feel like they're not part of the problem and that in some ways they also don't want to be part of that solution. There are also those people who say, hey, it's my house. And what I want to do with it is my business. And if I need this help, as we've seen on many of the commercials that we've seen from Airbnb and other people who've just called us and had said quietly, like, you know, this is helping me to put my kid through college. This is helping me to stay in Hawaii. I lost my job. I have to do this. I mean, the reasons that we've heard are many and are heartfelt. How do you reconcile that to the fact that we have just as many people perhaps coming up and saying, I can't find a house.
I think there's a disconnect
anything.
There, Beth.
Yeah,
so to that conversation, this is what I would have to say. Airbnb wants people to think its hosts are local families or kupuna just renting out a spare room to an out-of-town guest. But nothing could be further from the truth. CBRE America's hotel did a report
Last month. Right. We began to talk about that when Victor was talking a
correct.
Moment ago. Yes.
You were close, Victor. It was 85% of all Oahu Airbnb revenue that comes from whole home rentals. So let's think about that for a second. That's not you renting out your back room. That's you renting out your entire house.
Now, for a couple of weeks here, a couple of weeks there, and then making a business out of it.
And on top of that, 27% of that revenue came from homeowners who were renting out 20 or more homes. Those are not tutukane renting out his back room so that he's not lonely in retirement. Those are illegal hotels operating in our neighborhoods. Now, to go to the caller's perspective of being someone who has a legal vacation rental in Honolulu, here's how that works. The city and county of Honolulu took all existing vacation rentals, short-term rentals, and allowed for them to be grandfathered in. On top of that, every year, you have to certify that you are safe. There's a fire inspection, and then you meet certain standards of quality. So when you are a legal short-term rental operator in Honolulu, you're registered. You pay a fee to be registered. Your neighbors know that you are because it's searchable. So the communities are not affected negatively by bad actors. And the city has some level of confidence that you're safe. You're a good player in the market. Hotels are an incredibly competitive industry. We're not afraid of more people coming in. We want to protect the quality of tourism in Hawaii. We want to protect the residential nature of our neighborhoods for the 110,000 employees that
right.
we represent.
I mean, you're making the point that these are businesses. These
That's
are
correct.
Businesses that are playing by the
That's
rules
correct.
And that you'd like everybody else to. We're going to take a few more callers. If you want to join us, 941-3689-877, 941-3689. If you call us from other than on Oahu. Talking now with Stephen, who is a Waikiki property manager. Aloha, Stephen. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha,
well, maybe if you can get
Stephen,
a clean line. Can you hear us? We can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. Hi. The reason why I was calling is because being a property manager, I do have owners that would like me to go that route. And what I was told is that you need a specific or special license for short-term rentals. So I wanted to know either A, if that was true or not, or B, I'd like to know if the bills you're talking about would help companies like myself so I can help my owners. So to be honest, I don't lose properties.
All right. I think Larry Bartley would like to answer you.
Yeah, there is no permitting process. We had a huge battle in 1989 over this and months of meetings. And I was involved peripherally at that time on a neighborhood board. And what we came up with was the solution. And that is that the people who had proven they were operating and paying their taxes before 1986 would be grandfathered in. That was about 2,000 plus. Since then, there has not been any permitting. Or it's not a moratorium, it's a law that they are illegal. And so you really can't do it unless you're in, if you're in resort zoning. Now, some of Waikiki is in resort zoning, so you don't need a license or anything to do it there. But if you're in apartment zoning or buildings that weren't specifically grandfathered in, you can't do this. So, you know, once the enforcement starts, which is coming now because of this housing crisis, once the enforcement starts, you know, if people are making economic decisions on breaking the law, they could come up short in the end. If they're buying properties that inflate the prices to with the hope of renting them out short term, they could take it, you know, in the end, they could
so
lose.
So, Stephen, you've got some homework to do, depending upon where your clients are. Thanks very much for the call. Speaking of taxes, we have Keith calling us from Kailua with a tax question. Aloha, Keith. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi. Yes. so, yeah, my opinion is that, you know, short-term rentals are harmful for neighborhoods. And, you know, it's – but on the other hand, we do want to collect the transient taxes and other taxes. I think that it's not a good thing to automatically certify that they're legal thereafter.
So do you have a tax question?
Well, no, I thought – well, I think that – I mean, why would they include the provision that all these short-term rentals would now become legal?
Why not just stipulate
that they collect the taxes but not certify that they're legal?
Okay, because it looks like we have a situation where they almost get grandfathered back in again.
That's correct. So that you bring up a really good point, and I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm going to pivot to Steve's question about resort zoning and then answer your question. By the way, I grew up in Kailua, so it's a great neighborhood, and you're right. The reason we look at zoning at a 30,000-foot level is for the very fact that there's a difference between how we treat Waikiki and how we treat Ma'ili, where I live. They're different neighborhoods for a reason. So there's a process. There's a general planning process. There's a zoning process. There are things in place by which each county decides on behalf of their constituents what is the best use. And the highest and best use doesn't mean how do you make the most money. It means what is appropriate for the current needs of our community. And we know that in Honolulu right now, it's housing and the projected needs of our communities. So back in 2011, the city county realized in Honolulu we needed more resort zoning in the Waikiki area. So we passed Bills 51 and 52, which expanded condotel permitting authority in the area. And you saw the growth of condotels there like the Ritz-Carlton and others. Because of that, we looked at Honolulu and said, okay, we need more short-term rentals in a particular area. We know where we want them. We know what's good for housing and the housing pool. Let's do that. As it relates to taxation, SB 704's current flaw is that it's written to allow for large platforms like Airbnb to operate legally. So to make legal all of the illegal actors so that they can still function as a large rental platform.
In essence, grandfathering them in.
Making them legal. Yeah. 1471 does not allow for that. It allows for the collection, the maximum collection of taxation from any legal short-term rental, but not from the illegal
actors.
We've
got several callers on. Any more of a point that you want to make on that, Keikoa? Okay, good. We're going to move on because we have someone calling in from your old neighborhood, Jane calling from Kailua, talking about vacation rental. She has a different perspective on this. Aloha, Jane. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. Thank you for taking my call. I live in Kailua Hills, so I cannot. I don't have an illegal any kind of rental. Nobody wants to be up here. But I tell you, if I live close to the beach, I would have one. I've noticed that areas in Kailua where they have vacation rentals, legal or illegal, are cleaner, neater, and painted and attractive. So I'm for it. Kailua Hills, cars are all over the place. Many places are disheveled, and those many renters, the places are not kept up. There are shopping carts and derelict cars, and the government doesn't, you know, maintain anything. They don't ticket people, etc. So, quite frankly, I'm glad we have the short-term rentals. Kailua is a much cleaner-looking place as a result.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Jane. Thank you very much. Anybody want to answer her?
No,
okay, we're going to move on. John is calling us from Waikiki, saying that banning the TVRs will not necessarily solve the homeless problem. We're not necessarily looking at it, too, are we, though? Really?
Hello?
Hello? John, are you there?
Hello?
John, can you hear us? Okay, I don't think he can. Maybe you guys on the other end there can see if you can get him to hear us or not. If you're just joining us now for Town Square, we're talking about short-term rentals. We're talking about the bills moving through the ledge. How do you regulate these? We've talked about this now for a couple of years. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. But just the very nature of what I'm hearing from my crew on the other side that John wanted to talk about, trying to solve the homeless issue, that's not necessarily in the same mix with it directly. It may be tangentially related, but really, are we looking to something like this to move into a homelessness discussion? Are we really talking about affordable housing for a different population?
Well, the more you create a supply problem, you will start to take care of the demand problem. Our rents have gone up about 100% in the last 7 years, whereas income has pretty much remained stagnant, a little bit increased, but not much at all. We just have an affordability gap for just general apartments for our people to live in. And the more you're able to put back into the market for our long-term residents, the more you're able to lower the cost of housing. But supply and demand is going to work in that way very simply. It always has, always will. And we have bleeding, as I said. Right now, by the way, you have one out of every five houses in Kahuku and one out of every five houses in Kihei, two different islands, two different areas that are short-term rentals. So those are obviously being taken from illegal short-term rentals. Those are obviously being taken from the general market, and therefore the prices are being inflated for the remaining availability of housing that our tenants desperately need.
And I want to
underscore. Rents are very much like the stock market. It's not really what your place is worth or what you paid for it. It's what the last place rented for, just like the last share of stock sold for. It's what you can get, right, and what you expect to get. So as landlords see rents going up and up and up, and they got more and more calls every time they have a vacancy, they know it's time to raise the rent.
Okay,
and
well,
that's what they do.
All right, well, let's talk about property values now. We have Brad calling us from Honolulu who wants to talk about just that. Aloha, Brad. Welcome to Town Square.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call. So I get confused on all these bills, but my bottom line is I'm thinking about buying a condo, and what is this going to do to property values? If the vacation rentals are allowed, then the property values should go up. If they're not allowed, they could go down, and this can make a substantial difference on what my decision will be.
All right. Well, we don't want to offer advice as to what you should do, but I think Victor Gemignani would like to answer you. I'm watching him shake his head here, or actually nod at you.
You're obviously the more money you can make out of a dwelling, the more people are willing to pay for that dwelling. And as I pointed out before, if you can make 3.5 times what you can make in a long-term rental from a short-term rental, there's economics that are working in your favor to go ahead and buy one, which means companies and Kiko had mentioned before that 27% of these Airbnb rentals or online rentals are being done by companies that have over 20 units. So obviously, when the economics becomes beneficial, the value of the property is going to go up. Corporations and individuals that wish to use the property for speculation or profit will crowd out our local market, and therefore the prices will get much more expensive than they are currently. We already have the highest prices in the United States. They're just going to continue to climb as the economics work in favor of these vacation rentals proliferation. And our people are going to be hurt in the process because they're going to have to pay more and more and more dollars for these property because we're competing with mainlanders. By the way, on Maui, 50% of all of the properties that are sold to non-locals, 50%. That means our people are not ultimately being allowed to purchase that property because it's too expensive and they can't bid. They can't get in the market.
What's happening is a friend of mine who's looking for an apartment right now, condo to buy, is retired, wants to move out of a bigger house rental into a condo, has learned every time he talks to a realtor, says you buy this, you can rent it short term. So one of the problems is realtors are actually advertising these and promoting them as, even when they're illegal
to make a sale.
To make the sale, right? And so they can sell them at a, you know, they can convince somebody, look, you can buy this place for $1.5 million and make the payments on renting it out short term. And so people go for it, right?
It's a better investment, to be frank with you, guaranteed in this state to buy a housing as opposed to putting your money in the stock market. That's why housing is so attractive in terms of investment for non-residents, mainlanders and foreigners that are coming in with a lot of money to be ultimately buy up.
Which brings up a whole other issue that we really haven't talked about.
Non-used long-term rentals, I mean, purchases that are not being used in the general market because they're being used for speculation instead.
For people who may be purchasing a condo, looking like we've heard from some of our callers already, clients looking to maybe buy a condo, don't condo associations have something to say about that too, whether or not they can use that
Very
unit?
Very good point.
And that's something that people forget sometimes. You've got to check in with that condo association.
Well, and this is a real problem. The other day, John Dotton from Lowell Funk Management testified at city council that he's having a lot of difficulty. He manages condo associations. He's having difficulty enforcing. Back in 2005, when we first started this battle at the city council, I worked with a lot of property managers. I went to the major condo management companies, and I said, how is more permitting going to affect your condo management? And remember, this is 2005, before the great deluge. And they said, it's no problem for us. All of our associations have rules against short-term rentals. And so there you have, on Oahu alone, you have about 600 mini-governments who've decided long ago that the mix of visitors and permanent residents in a close proximity is not a good mix and doesn't work. Right now, I'm hearing from condo managers that I work with, they're having a real headache because they don't have the enforcement powers that the city has. They want the city to enforce. The city is not enforcing effectively. So they call the city and they really can't get enforcement.
And you're not talking about smaller groups. You're talking about big groups like Hawaiiana.
Yes, exactly.
And if a big
I don't
like
want to speak.
That.
I don't want to speak for Hawaiiana.
I'm not asking you to.
Associate Hawaiiana, Hawaiian Properties.
Many groups that are managing many properties.
We're talking about some major buildings in Kaka'ako. Some of the new luxury buildings are being rented out. Dozens of apartments are being rented out short term right now.
Carol, I know you've been listening to all of this, and we're going to take a few more callers in a moment, but I wanted to check back with you. How you feel as you're listening to some of this conversation? I don't mean to disadvantage you in some way, but the fact that you have a property that you rent out, other people are saying that that's causing a bigger problem. Do you at all feel that you should be maybe changing your tact and renting to somebody who is local?
No, I don't. And there's three things I'd like to speak to. One is that if the 27% of these vacation rentals have 20 units or more, 73% don't. And all of the people I know have one place, usually a little ohana in the back or under their house or whatever. And they're not mega corporations doing this. And it's difficult to realize the amount of taxes that the government is losing, because a lot of people are under the radar and they don't think they can get a permit. They don't know who to contact. I signed up. I got my excise tax. I got my TAT tax. I pay my taxes, and I assure other people that that's also a very simple online thing to do. But I want to just address the idea of protecting the quality of tourism. The quality of tourism, if I can afford $200, $300, $700, $800 a night, I can stay at many of the big resorts. But none of the people that I rent to are in that price category. They may be retired people, they may be students, they may be Europeans coming for a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and I kukua them through their whole process. So they use the local snorkeling business or the manta ray business or the restaurants, or I help them have a really wonderful trip that is not – they're not ever going to be in the big resorts. They're just not. They don't have the money. The other thing is that many of the people I've spoken to did long-term rentals. I did long-term rentals. I had disastrous results, and almost everybody I've spoken to has had disastrous results, where they got somebody in, and the laws are in favor of the renter. Somebody can say, oh, I lost my job, and stop paying rent, and they can be there for another year.
Okay, so I hear you saying that it's a lot easier and for you happier, and also perhaps for the people that you're renting to short term, and that makes it, because you do everything legally, that you're okay with all of this. But I'm watching some of our panel here who would like to be able to answer you. Victor, I know you wanted to say something.
First of all,
wait a minute. All the people that I know have not had problems with people coming. There have been no breakage, no theft, no big crowds, no loud parties. They've just had nice people coming for 4 days, a week, two weeks.
We hear your point that, you know, these are nice people who are coming. You're helping to network them to businesses that are local and feeling that you're helping to support the local economy. So what's wrong with that?
Well, two issues. The first is, on the eviction process, it's a summary proceeding. It takes about 2 weeks to 3 weeks to evict someone in this state. We just completed an eviction study in Hawaii, Appleseed Center, found out that only 4% of tenants were represented, 70% of landlords were represented, and possession was given to landlords in 97% of the cases. 50% of the people actually defaulted, didn't even go to court because of the futility. The laws do not favor tenants in this community, and the summary proceeding allows them to be evicted fairly quickly if they breached the lease in any kind of way, number one. Number two, there's a bait and switch that goes to the center of this argument about why we should legalize vacation rentals through particularly SB 704. The prediction last year by Airbnb is that they were going to raise around $15 million by doing that. Those estimates in 1 year have now gone up to $50, $75, $100 million, although justification has ever been shown as exactly how much they're going to collect. And let me just put the perspective of that and drive the perspective of that home. Say the state were to raise $50 million from Airbnb. It would cost us that amount of money to produce a little over 300 rental units in the state. So while we're getting money in from tax revenues, we're going to actually deplete in a significant way our ability to house our people, and we can't produce housing anywhere close to the cost that we need in order to be able to produce these.
So there's no offset. We have a full board of callers, so let me get back to them so they can jump in here too. So stay with us, Carol. Going to go now to Carl calling us from the Big Island. Aloha, Carl. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi, aloha. I just wanted to say, I think it's not a problem just here. I think it's a worldwide problem of population dynamics. It's supply and demand. Houses are all going to be going up in price. And the answer, in my opinion, is to make zoning change so that we can build smaller houses. And as far as I know, you need a snow load and three firemen on the roof if you want to build a house here. The roof has to be that strong, because they copied some other state. And it's just not really relevant, but it's great for the lumber industry. You know, they're doing fine. The politicians' brothers are making money.
Yeah, but Carl, you can't
build a little house.
You're really making the point, though, that we need to have ADUs and that we need to be having more tiny houses, and that there's a whole other issue here that is not necessarily going to be fixed by having, or frankly not having, of vacation rentals.
And well, some of it can be fixed.
ADUs were made legal by the county last year through Bill 20.
That's right.
We now have a demonstration out on the state grounds showing people what a 400-square-foot ADU can be built, can look like, and it's about $65,000 from both the materials as well as the labor to install it. So most neighborhoods now that have residential lots can build, in fact, a small house in their backyard. In fact, it's being encouraged. It's one of the major components of Mayor Caldwell's plan for affordability of housing.
Speaking of Mayor Caldwell, he wants to put 400 affordable units a year into the marketplace. Year over year, Airbnb illegal listings increased whole home listings by 227%. That's more than 400 whole homes a month.
Right.
So this goes to the zoning and permitting issue. The reason 1471 is so important is that it addresses the need to give the counties teeth to go after illegal actors in the market space.
All right, we're going to leave it there for the moment and move on with some of our callers as the hour is moving along. Going to Danielle, calling us from Hamakua.
Hi, Bethann. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Okay,
so a couple of issues. I'm going to try to remain calm. This is a hot-button issue for me. So my feeling about affordable housing, I worked for a large developer about 15 years ago, and at that time and continually, the county of Hawaii allows developers to pay in lieu fees for the affordable housing units. Instead of, let's say, building 300 units, they were allowed to pay arbitrary number, $2,000 per unit in place of actually building that affordable housing. I feel like that's a huge part of where we are now.
Well,
but I don't hear anyone talking about that.
Okay, well, we're going to briefly for a moment because I'm watching a couple of my guests nod heads. Larry, you want to take that first and then Victor?
Yeah, I was just at the City Council Zoning Committee hearing on this very issue about affordable housing and requirements for developers. And the number they put on the board, Mayor Caldwell's plan, is $45 per square foot as an escape fee for not satisfying the affordable housing. Maybe you want to comment on that, Victor. But
yeah,
the number I saw was $45.
Whether that's the right figure or not in terms of a good deal, I can't tell you. We're looking at that math to try to figure out exactly what is a good deal for the city, and we're not so sure $45 opt-out is, in fact, appropriate. But let me just point out, those of you who are familiar with Kaka'ako, was developed for not people that are ultimately could afford to live there, but primarily for speculators. We have now transit-oriented development that's about to begin along the rail line. We have a golden opportunity to ultimately build many, many affordable housing units using ADU models, using micro units, a whole variety of different models that are out there to be able to increase significantly our availability of housing. And we've got to make sure that building is done not with a lot of opt-outs, but rather replacement housing or creation of housing for affordability. It didn't happen in Kaka'ako. We
right,
have a second
exactly.
chance
that was supposed
down
to be
right
workforce
now.
Housing, and now look at it.
Exactly.
And that's
right.
What you have been saying for a very long time. We're going to move on and see what we hear from Francis calling us from Hawaii. Francis is a long-term rental owner and
Hello.
On the line with us now. Aloha.
Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Hi. Yes, I'm in Hawaii on the Big Island. My husband and I have a long-term rental.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're having a problem with our phone on the other end there. Go ahead.
Okay. When it came open that we had the opening to re-rent it, we advertised it as long-term rental. We always have. We felt like it's part of our community responsibility to support our community of people who live and work here. We have had snowbirds interested in it, but our feeling is these are our neighbors. We live here, and it needs to be used as part of the neighborhood. People who work in our neighborhood should live in our neighborhood. And I personally look around here in Hawaii County, and we have so little apartments, way too many condos and not enough apartments. The people who can't afford to buy for themselves should be able to get housing, you know, apartments that are big enough for families. It really, to me, was appalling. I have a one-bedroom house, and there were families of five trying to get into it. It's that desperate here that people would be willing to sleep in the dining room if they could just have a place to live.
Thanks so much, Francis, for calling in. I want to ask you, though, before you go, when you talk to some of your other neighbors who also have a place that they might be able to rent, are they also in sync with your thinking?
No, not all of them. Some of them are vacation rentals. Some, it's split. Some of them do. In fact, I have several neighbors who actually particularly like to offer their rentals for elderly people who live in the area to keep them in their communities, who are renting the low income for elderly people. But there are several people in our community who are actually quite a few who are vacation renting, and they kind of have the attitude, it's a valid one, that they are providing affordable rent for people who are low-budget travelers. And I understand that because when I first came here to Hawaii, I never stayed at a resort. It was too bloody expensive. But I think there has to be some balance between the percentage of housing that goes into vacation rental and what goes into long-term rental.
Francis, thanks very much for the call. Good to hear from you. This keeps coming back to what she just talked about. Do you care about your community and being able to offer places for people to live? Or are you looking at your pocketbook and saying, I really need the money or I really want the money? Isn't
this
that
is really
the
a property rights issue. It always has been. You know, a lot of vacation rental owners say, well, they have the Texas land model. Oh, it's my property. I'll do whatever I want with it, right? But in fact, property rights – And they resent intrusion by the government and telling them what they can do with their property. Well, the fact is the government actually gives you your property rights. You didn't create that land. You might have built a house on it. You didn't create it. You bought it from somebody else who didn't create it, who bought it from somebody else who didn't create it, who probably stole it from somebody else, you know, in the early 1800s, if you're talking about Hawaii. So there is no intrinsic property rights here that you can say you can do whatever you want with your property, because you ask everybody in the government to help protect your property. So if you're going to ask us to help protect your property and give you exclusive use of it, then get ready for the rules that go with it, which say you're going to rent this to a neighborhood.
All right, we're going to go now to Andrew calling us from Honolulu, who has a different perspective. Aloha, Andrew, and thank you for your patience.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So the argument that I've been hearing is that the short-term rentals are crowding out the local supply for local residents to have housing. I'm wondering if, and this isn't something that I've actually heard too much of anywhere, has anyone actually even looked at the units that they are categorizing as short-term rentals and using in these arguments and comparing it to what if, what kind of tenant would take on that unit if it was not a short-term rental?
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, because hang on a second, because the hour is moving on. I want to get you an answer. Keikoa is nodding and saying yes.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, thank you for the call. One of the things we did is we just went on Airbnb, and we plugged in a particular zip code, and we looked at the rentals that were listed, and we found dozens of listings in affordable communities in Honolulu, including listings in affordable housing projects. So let me translate that for you. People are using government housing as short-term rental opportunities to generate private income on Airbnb. Not only are they illegal, they are literally taking units out of the affordable housing pool to let on Airbnb.
And this is not a situation where they're saying, I've got an extra bedroom.
These are whole unit rentals. Airbnb.com. Check it out. It's all there.
All right, Andrew. Thanks very much for bringing that up. Going now to Jim calling from Hawaii Kai, saying that, well, we got so many homes going empty. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, if you go up and down the beach in Kailua and on the North Shore, you'll notice a large, large number of homes are empty most of the year. They're owned by either locals that use the homes as vacation homes for themselves, or off-island people that use them as vacation homes, maybe a few weeks out of the year. They're not taking up low-income housing. They'll go empty if they're not allowed to vacation rent. It seems like it's taking away potentially hundreds and hundreds and millions, maybe, in dollars of tax dollars that could be coming in that aren't. These are owners that have a choice whether they're going to stay in these homes or leave them empty. They don't need the income from these people, but they'll take it if they can get it, because it's sharing a commodity with people that would otherwise not be able to afford it.
All right. We'll take that up briefly now. So what about these large homes? You're not talking about condos. You're not talking about government housing. You're not talking about places where there might be an affordable house to rent, or a smaller ohana unit. You're talking about big houses, maybe on the beach, on the coast, in the neighborhoods where people have them as maybe second homes or as executive retreats, and that they're not being
used. I'll tell you how they affect them, Beth. And I live on the beach. I have a beautiful home that I was lucky to be in a family that had a house on a beach, because my great-grandfather, who was a successful businessman and a city council member, could afford to buy one. Every single one of the five units on the beach where I live, except for my unit, is an illegal vacation rental. So that's how they affect supply for local families who can no longer afford to live in the houses that they inherited. So that's one note. But also, this goes back to what Victor was saying about a supply and demand curve here. If we're going to continue to incentivize illegal actors in our residential neighborhoods, we're going to encourage the investment of these players. And again, to clarify the numbers, 52% of all Airbnb revenue in the Oahu market comes from multi-unit hosts. 85% of all their revenue comes from whole unit hosts. So for Carol on the Big Island, she's one of only 15% of Airbnb folks that we can find who are actually potentially operating legally.
We're going to go now to James calling us from Kamuela, asking a very simple question. How can zoning issues be solved? Aloha, James.
Beth Ann, thanks for taking my call. Quickly, the discussion today is great, obviously a hot topic, but big picture might be to take a step back and look at, in addition to tax law and zoning law, bigger picture might be mortgage law and insurance. So property owners have a mortgage on their property. That mortgage may be for a single-family residential. It might be a condo at a resort, but that mortgage might not entitle them to use that property as a rental unit, short-term, long-term, Airbnb, or whatever.
Right, and so this goes, hang on a second. Do you have a specific question about that, or you just want us to be able to tackle that part of it?
No, I just comment on that. They should be able to prove to the county and state, if they want to do short-term, long-term rental, that they're actually able to do that based on the terms of their mortgage agreement and their insurance policy.
Right, and this also goes back to the same issue we talked about a moment ago, that if you have a condo association, there may also be rules and regs in there, too, about what you can and cannot do. So people can't look at this with a sense of impunity that I'm going to buy this and I'm going to rent it and I'm going to make a lot of money.
Frankly, this is how they undercut the legitimate hotel industry, is by avoiding all the costs that drive up hotel room rates, including property taxes, garbage collection, security, insurance. Back in 2005, one of my first questions to an insurance agent was, are these renters covered by homeowners insurance? And he said, not if they're paying. No. So in other words, a lot of these people are just traveling naked without insurance unless they get special policies. The other thing is they don't pay for security. Honolulu Police has to provide their security. So they really undercut legitimate hotels. If they had to pay for all these things the way the legitimate hotels have to pay for them, their prices would be higher. So what they're really doing is, through these illegal operations, is undercutting legitimate industry.
Larry, I want to dovetail on that. The American Hotel and Lodging Association in Hawaii represents more than 150 member properties. I'm going to pick on one of them, Kyoya. Just in Waikiki alone, in addition to an inflated property tax that Kyoya pays happily, they employ thousands of individuals, you know, who then in turn pay taxes in the state of Hawaii. They also pay a special impact fee for the beaches in front of the Kyoya properties, and they pay a special assessment for the general Waikiki area. These are all things into which Kyoya is contributing, just like Outrigger, just like Hilton, just like Marriott, to ensure the quality of the tourism product and the safety of the tourism experience here in Hawaii.
Okay, the hour is running very close to noon. We're only going to be talking about this in the next couple of minutes, and I apologize to several of you who have called in saying that you're very concerned about the affordability for families, or talking about how Airbnb may be deceiving some of the, you know, the people that see some of these calls, I mean, some of the commercial that we've been seeing, all of that, you know, points that people are making. Obviously, this is something that people are living with, and it's breathing in our community. But where are we as we go into these last couple of weeks of the session, looking at these bills that are potentially going to greatly pass, greatly change if they're in fact passed? Looking again at these two bills and what's happening in council, just to go back one more time for those people who may have joined us late in the hour as to where these are now and what may happen with them. And I'm going to start with you, Victor.
Well, I think ultimately the solution has got to include some ability to seriously enforce the proliferation of illegal rentals that we're hemorrhaging on right now. So the bottom line is the certification process that requires a owner that's going to be able to engage in these kind of practices to prove to Airbnb they are, in fact, doing it legally.
And Larry?
I agree 100%. The idea that these people who are representing 80% of their product is probably illegal, and they're going to be given state agent status. In other words, this will glorify them to the point where people will just assume that everything they're doing is legal. They'll be an agent of the state of Hawaii advertising these properties.
Carol, we want to make sure you get in here, too.
Okay. Well, number one is if Airbnb collects that tax, it will be paid. I collect the tax, and I pay it. Some people don't collect the tax and don't pay it. And, you know, there are an awful lot of people who really have both, you know, helping the visitor who's coming because tourism is our largest
industry. Carol, we're running really short of time. I think we've got your point, and I want to thank you very much for joining us. I know you're traveling on the mainland. We appreciate you being with us today. And Keiko, you got about 15 seconds.
We're going to trust the process. We know that mandatory registration, transparency, penalties to discourage bad actors and non-preemption of the counties is key this legislative session.
Many thanks to Keiko McLennan, who you just heard from, to Victor Gemignani, to Larry Bartley here in the studio, and to Carol Burns, who joined us by phone, and to all of you for your questions and your comments. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. We'll see you next week for Town Square.